Are you ready? These are the danger signs. If they're there, you're in trouble. Come see me. One, you and your husband or wife have an inability to agree on little things. You can't seem to agree on the small things. Why would this be a danger sign? That is exactly right. That is exactly right. It's a sign that a husband and wife, one or the other, is trying to dominate. So therefore, you can't agree because one or the other is trying to have too much power in the marriage. And it manifests itself when you can't agree on those small things. There's a power struggle. Even though he's a Protestant, I think C.S. Lewis was correct when he said the opposite of love is not hate, it is power. Struggling for power is a sign there's not love in marriage. Two, hopefully none of you husbands have had this happen to you yet. I'm sure the older ones have. The wife nags more often. Charlie's over like... Why would this be a danger sign if the wife nags more often? You're not going to like the answer, Charlie.
Where's the man down?
You're not going to like the real answer. You're not going to like the real answer. The wife nags more often. It's a sign that the wife is uncertain of herself, which means that her husband has caused the insecurity. Because she's typically uncertain that her husband loves her, and as a result, she nags him just to get his attention. She calls attention to herself as often as possible because he quite simply neglects her. He has nothing to do with her or doesn't talk with her, doesn't engage her, so she nags. Remember the old saying, your children will do this to you. Negative attention is better than no attention at all. So if a wife is nagging more, gentlemen, that's your fault. So you need to fix it. Give her a little bit of attention. Find out what she's uncertain about, insecure about. A woman needs to hear more than a man does. Three. This is a real danger sign. One or both partners begin to neglect their religious duties. Sure sign of trouble. Consider, for example, how regular confession is such a boon to marriage. Because how can a married person who goes to confession, who knows he needs God's pardon for his sins, how will he be unforgiving to his wife when God is so forgiving to him? How could she be unforgiving to her husband when God is so forgiving to her? If she uses the sacraments, if he uses sacraments like penance regularly, she will love more. He will love more because of the appreciation of God's mercy. You could never really go to confession and be truly absolved if you're holding something against your spouse. Because that means you don't know what contrition is. But when you know contrition, remember what our Lord said, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. The one who has been forgiven little loves little. So a husband or wife that uses the sacrament of penance will always be forgiving to their spouse. Always. Unless their confessions were invalid, because that means the grace isn't operative. But true contrition, the right formula, they're valid. So it just means that they need to look deeper into the reality of the pride within themselves and combat it. So if you're neglecting your religious duties, then clearly it's a dangerous sign in your marriage. Four, this will be obvious. Husband and wife find it much more difficult to talk to each other. Simple as that. You find you're not talking to your spouse as much. Why is that a problem? A breakdown in communication indicates that at least one of the partners is no longer interested in the marriage. No longer interested in the other person. They obviously do not have the full sense of oneness in marriage, and they don't have a sense of companionship necessary for a happy partnership. It's not being achieved. So therefore, they're psychologically starting to check out. So that requires willful communication to correct that, sitting the spouse down and actually talking, even if they don't want to, or saying what you need to say. Five. This one is pretty obvious, but most people take it for granted. One or both of the spouses become increasingly careless about their appearance. One or both dresses like a slob. And they're going to say, "Oh, I'm just comfortable, Father. I don't know what you're being so judgmental about." But the reality is, it's a sign you're not interested. You don't respect your spouse anymore. Because it's not a matter of vanity. It's a matter of respect. And this indicates if you're sloppy, if you're dressing in a sloppy way, since the way you dress often indicates your interior disposition, your self-respect, if you're dressing in a sloppy way in marriage, that means you're disappointed in the marriage. It's an outward sign of an inward disposition. And you're not as interested in your spouse anymore, so you don't want to get gussied up for Brian when he comes home from work. That'd be okay, I'll be in my sweatpants and t-shirt.
He'll know when I dress that way that we need to talk, right?
Yes. He's going to have to sit you down and say,
"I just have to put on clear signals."
I'm going to have you explain what gussied up looks like.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Pearls and dress.
Not denim. I have my standards, and obviously it's not up to me. It's up to the husbands to determine what they would consider to be respectful as far as how their wives are dressing for them. That's why communication is a good thing.
So if you're wearing your cleaning clothes.
Clean clothes?
Your cleaning clothes, like scrubbing the floors clothes.
But if you love him, yes, if you love him, yes, flawless. Flawless. See those little acts of self-sacrifice? And he would pick up on them. And he would respond in kind with equally generous actions on his part. Marriage requires vigilance. It requires constant work. If you get relaxed in it, then it's pretty much all over.
So if the guy starts to look sloppy, they always say the way a man dresses is a reflection on the wife. It's okay for him to get a little bossy and tell what to change into and everything?
No. Yeah. The headship should always be maintained.
Yeah.
And there's going to be reciprocity. And there's a whole dynamic that has to be understood with regards to the self-sacrifice of the husband coming home from work and wanting to be relaxed versus her being home and then doing something to demonstrate respect for him. That doesn't mean he has to reciprocate and then stay all formal just because he's come home. It's really just like a matter of greeting and a matter of a small action of self-sacrifice on her part that would reflect in your own disposition if it were happening. And then it would be an issue. Increase in conflicts over money matters. That means the reality is money problems in marriage are due to one thing and one thing alone. That's the reality that one or both of the spouses is being selfish and they're spending too much money on themselves or on things they shouldn't be buying. So if you find yourself arguing over money, it's a sign there's selfishness in the marriage. So it's really in the end not simply about the money, but about the selfishness that's leading to the money being mismanaged. So obviously you have a budget, the money is managed. Husband and wife do fewer things together. One or both stay away from home frequently, and when they do, they consciously or unconsciously are trying to escape from each other. That is what we call psychological desertion. So I mean willfully, not with obligation of work. He's willfully staying away. So as soon as work's over, he goes to the bar and drinks with his friends. Or he goes to a ball game. Or he goes to some other thing. He's avoiding going home. Or she is always out with her friends. She is always gone. She's psychologically deserted. He has psychologically deserted the other. If you do fewer things together, it's a warning sign that you're moving in the direction towards psychological desertion. Husband or wife becomes unduly attentive to a member of the opposite sex. There is no such thing as harmless flirtation in the sacrament of holy matrimony. You cannot flirt with someone of the opposite sex and believe it to be harmless. Not in marriage. Such actions indicate a seeking of some satisfaction which is not being obtained and can lead straight to adultery, given the awful power of concupiscence. One of the spouses resents the other's attention to the children. That's a danger sign and a half. It's an indication of immaturity when one partner demands the undivided love and attention of the other, and they're actually jealous of the other's attention to the children. One is immature, and that's a real danger sign. One of the partners becomes noticeably indifferent to displays of affection. Remember, affection thrives on a demonstration of affection, so love requires affection. An affect, an outward sign of the inward love. So if affection thrives on it, it dies from the lack of it. And so if one of the partners is less attentive in that respect or indifferent toward displays of affection, you come up and give Santa a kiss and she's like, eh. Now, mind you, she does it every day, not when she's mad at you. Because she might do that when she's mad at you. But it becomes a regular thing. That means that she, ultimately, has lost all interest in you. Sure danger sign. The last one. One of the married partners feels bored or ill at ease in the other's presence. So you feel bored when you're with your spouse, or you feel ill at ease with your spouse. That's a sure danger sign. Why? This frequently occurs when the main basis of marriage is purely sexual. And after the newness of the conjugal act wears off, there's little mutual interest to sustain the relationship. But there's also another explanation. It could indicate that one partner is either a perfectionist, waiting to pounce on some fault that could indicate that the ill at ease mate is doing something that is shameful, but unknown to the spouse. So you either have a perfectionist spouse who's always looking for a reason to jump down the other spouse's throat, which makes the other spouse ill at ease, or one of you in the marriage is doing something sinful under the radar, and you feel guilty about it. And that's why you're ill at ease with your spouse. Usually the one that's ill at ease is the one that creates the dangerous vices. Because if you're not in the right relationship with God, you're not in the right relationship with yourself. And therefore, you can't be in the right relationship with your spouse. So if you're living in perpetual mortal sin, then your relationship with your spouse reflects it. And you're ill at ease with your spouse. Dangerous dynamic. Any questions? Do you want to know how to disagree with your husband or spouse or wife?
Sure.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mature husbands and wives they disagree, they do not fight. So you're entitled to disagree. So therefore, psychological principles. Don't blow up over trivial differences, you two.
So you're not yelling.
Mm-hmm. If you have a grievance, get it out of your system, Derek. palm. And always guard your tongue. Always guard your tongue. Keep your discussions within the bounds. So if you're going to discuss a budget, don't start in on him about how he likes to use a toothpick at the table after dinner. Keep it within bounds. Discuss what you are discussing and don't bring in something else. If you must criticize, criticize the act and not your mate performing it. So criticize him picking his teeth at the table. Don't say you're an idiot for doing it. Don't criticize him, criticize the act. Keep your disagreements between yourselves. Don't tell your children, don't tell your parents, don't tell your in-laws, because they'll always take your side, they'll always be biased against your spouse, and they'll put wrong ideas in your head. Sometimes you have to give on the little things that are not important to you. That's why marriage requires that you accept the cross, and there are times you have to give in. Develop an outlet. So, you find a way to get the tension out. For man, it could be some kind of exercise. It could be if you know you're going to have a bad fight, you take a walk around the block to keep yourself from getting over heated. So develop an outlet so that you don't end up fighting, but merely disagreeing. And of course, never let bitterness carry over into the night. And one other important rule that is typically something women do, do not use the word always or never. You always do that. You never do this. You should not do that to your husband. Women tend to do that. At least the psychological books I read tell me.
I do. And I get picked apart about it. So I always wish I hadn't. It's quick.
Any other questions? Comments, hopes, dreams, fears, aspirations, complaints? I've put you through enough of the rigor right now.
I don't know if I got my money.